Welcome to another edition of Uncensored with Penny Faree, proudly sponsored by IPSS Electronic Security.
Good morning to our listeners and welcome to another show where we take a closer look at the big issues shaping our region. Today we begin with a story that has resurfaced with real force in Ballito. The proposed sale of a section of Townsend Park is back before council and the process is being restarted from scratch. It is one of the most contested pieces of public land in Kwadukusa. Allegedly. It carries a decade of delays, legal disputes, community petitions, and now fresh political pressure. What happens next will shape not only this park, but the way public land is being handled across our municipality. Joining me this morning is someone who has tracked these issues closely for many years, Warwick Chapman. He is the chairperson of the Kwadukusa Residents Forum and a respected civic voice in our region. He brings extensive experience in local government, municipal policy, and community accountability. He also wears the hat of political analyst, working across governance and development spaces. And he has been central in helping residents understand how processes like these should function and what goes wrong when they do not. Warwick, thank you for joining me and for being on the show this morning.
Thank you and good morning.
Now, I think let's start first with a quick explanation for listeners not familiar with the details. The piece of land at the center of the debate is a 4,000 square meter forested strip in Townsend Park, which is behind the Scout Hall, locally known as Butterfly Park. It forms part of Earth 517, while the main open park and play areas fall under different Earth and are not affected by the proposal. The Lions and Club facilities, the Scout Hall, and the sports courts all remain in place through an existing lease. Now, the debate began more a decade ago. In 2013, the municipality considered building a town hall on the same site, but residents objected strongly because the area is one of Ballito's last remaining green lungs and home to local fauna and flora. And the matter resurfaced in 2018 and 19 when the Zululand Islamic Society made a 3.6 million rand offer to purchase this portion of Earth 517 in order to build a mosque. The proposal was met with mixed community responses. The matter resurfaced in 2018 and 19, and we hear again a full restart. Now, it raises a question, Warwick, in terms of whether this is still a land use matter, or as many have stated on various social media platforms, it's a calculated bid to possibly shake voter sentiment in an election cycle where the ANC can't actually afford to lose more ground. What do you say to that statement?
Well, firstly, the ANC will be losing ground regardless of this issue, so let's just put that one in the banks. Look, this issue is so many different things at the same time. You know, they say don't talk politics and religion in polite company. I don't know what that makes this, hey?
No, I don't know.
But it is ultimately a real political hot potato. We understand that it emerged in the first place as a result of a promise made by ANC politicians in a prior election to, open quotes, the Muslim community, close quotes, or ZIS, the Zululand Islamic Society, about the getting the municipality support for this facility. Now, if we take a step back for a second, because it is so many things at the same time, it's a due process question. It's a question of residential character. It's a question of a green lung and how we should utilize that public space. It's a question of political interference. Yeah. It's lots of things, okay? But if we take a step back from all of that, if we want to build a new place of worship in a town, you will very seldom find that a new place of worship is built in the middle of a residential area.
Yeah.
Why? Because places of worship need space. They need parking, for one, but they also need recreational facilities and so on. Now, if we just have a look at this area and have a look at where the new places of worship are that have opened, we have a church along the R102 on the way to Tongaat on an old farmhouse. We have one in the industrial park across the road from the Golf Course.
Oh, okay. Yes.
You have one in the new Northside Industrial Park.
Yeah.
You have one in the Fox Hill area at the far extreme of the Fox Hill area.
Yeah.
They are located the locations are selected on the basis of the easy availability of space combined with the fact that it won't interfere or infringe on the residential character of a neighborhood by changing the activities that are happening in the area or by changing the amount of traffic introducing noise.
Yeah.
One of the things that nobody seems to have spoken about in this case, which has to be relevant for some of the affected persons, is that mosques are distinct in that there is a call to prayer.
Yeah.
The call to prayer is an amplified voice message that gets sent out multiple times per day. And I think that people should be more willing to simply say that they object to that in their residential community.
Possibly I could come in here, and I'm not unfamiliar with the subject because you might recall I was the chair of DOCRA when it first raised its ugly head, this subject. Firstly, the Muslim community, if one can just address that issue first and foremost, came out very strongly to say that site wasn't suitable for as their purpose. I'm talking about the local Muslim community that already identified a site in the sort of business park precinct, and they have gone ahead and built or are in the process of building a very substantial structure there to deal with their requirements. So this wasn't one. Secondly, when it comes to the call to prayer, apparently the modern approach now is to do this on a digital by demand, on demand basis. So it's not open air speaker with the call coming across very loudly, and it's a lovely call, but not everyone's cup of tea. And so for the faithful, they get that on their devices at the right time.
Okay.
So that's the modern approach. But thirdly, this was never really going to be a place of worship at all. From what I could gather at the time, it was very obvious that there was intended to become a development for financial gain. And the end of the story, that was it. We got a public community meeting going on the site, and that show of force, together with the then due process that was followed, together with the legal matters that were pursued thereafter, made this go away. To all intents and purposes, it was gone for the very purpose, the reasons that you've highlighted, Warwick. And it smacks, this particular issue coming back now, smacks of something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And to couch it in this quasi-religious requirement is disingenuous. It's completely, I think, fallacious. And I reckon that if one was to once again summon the troops, you know, call to action. You know, Belito, I think, has now gone way past all of this polite, here we go, let's write another letter and get the Resident Ratepayers Association to, behind closed doors, have a quiet discussion. You know, it's lovely if everyone is playing the same game and if everyone is playing by the rules, but clearly these guys aren't. And all they need to do is just quickly get a judicial approval and the sale goes through and then it's done deal. Where in the world nowadays does public open space become tradable commodity for the gain of a few to the detriment of the many? It's completely against the Constitution, as far as I understand.
And you've made a valid point, though, because there is a new 300-capacity Muslim prayer hall in the Belito Business Park, and it's nearly complete. So I just want to clarify that. You know, so many residents said that the original motivation for the sale, where they was originally saying there was a lack of prayer facilities for the Muslim community, I mean, that throws that argument out the window, because there is a 300 capacity Muslim prayer hall now.
You know, I'm sorry to kind of hijack, because Warwick, you make a very, very measured and considered a statement, and you've done your homework clearly, and what you say is genuinely, you know, accepted at face value is marvelous. In this case, though, I think one needs to look a little bit below the surface at what lies. Firstly, who is this society that they claim to be, and has one interrogated that yet? There we go. Over to you.
Well, it's interesting that the timing of this issue, now that it's reemerged. Let's take a step back again and have a look at that timing. We've just had a change of leadership in the municipality. There's a new mayor.
A third time now.
Right. And more relevant than who the new mayor is, who did that mayor replace? He replaced the previous mayor, Mr. Ali Ngidi. Ali Ngidi is extremely popular in the ANC Youth League in the area. And the ANC Youth League has been rattling their sabers and banging their drums since the new mayor took over. All of a sudden. Why? Okay, I think we know why. And they have recently leveled a whole slew of allegations against the municipality. Now, the ANC Youth League is taking on, in public, via social media, an ANC mayor and his administration in the municipality. They could tackle those issues behind closed doors through ANC structures or through municipal structures, but they've chosen to do it on social media for good reason. Now, if we have a look at the Zululand Islamic Society's response recently, they just put one out, they open with gratitude to the ANC Youth League, and then they close the letter with an entire headline section of the letter dedicated to the ANC Youth League. This is a political football and nothing else. The mayor that's been squeezed out, the previous mayor, and the ANC Youth League are lashing out, and this is one of the issues that they are able to lash out about. It's incredibly well documented. The provincial department got involved. It was clear, for all the reasons that have been discussed, that it's not an appropriate use of a green lung of a common public parcel of land, that it wouldn't be acceptable if it was a Christian church, it wouldn't be acceptable if it was a synagogue, it's not acceptable for it to be a mosque for all the same reasons.
Further to that, the price that has been offered for the size of land in that particular ward is laughable. And all the developers looking at this, I'm talking about the hard-nosed, business-oriented developers, said they would double that offer, triple it in a heartbeat if it went to a sort of open, as the municipal disbursement is supposed to be, generally open market transaction. Highest offer on a something that comes up for sale. That generally, as I understand it, is the way one does kind of business.
Part of the reason why it was a flawed process, because that component of the process was not conducted properly.
Clearly.
Yeah, the public participation. Yeah.
Well, that the determination
and
of the price.
Price, yeah.
Along the with the rest of it. Yeah. But it was a non-starter. Basically, it originated with a political promise. The political promise was not delivered on for many reasons. One, because it was doomed to fail because of all the reasons we've discussed.
Now, do you
and
think
two, because there was no competent handling of the process.
Yeah. Do you think that the ANC is now looking at a fresh, you know, model of voters? Because, the predominantly the Muslim, the Muslim voters don't have a home at the moment. Is that something they could possibly tap into?
Well, it would be nice to have a representative of the Muslim community in studio at some point.
Yeah.
But I think it's hard to talk about the Muslim community or the white community or the Christian community. But let's just at a very high level again say that, I know from my proximity over the years to the Democratic Alliance in the past that it was always a bit of a double-edged sword. approaching, trying to figure out the approach to issues that were pertinent to the Muslim community. And the ANC has had a similar experience. You know, they win some, they lose some. And the reality is that there doesn't appear to be one natural political home for the Muslim community. And remember, when I come here and I talk about politics, I always emphasize that identity is the most powerful force in politics.
Absolutely.
Identity is the main determinant of who someone is going to vote for. Do they identify with the political party that they are going to cast their ballot for? And anyone who votes contrary to the identity or perceived identity has to think really hard about that. And that therein lies one of the core challenges of political parties. So because there isn't a natural political organization that has broad appeal amongst Muslim voters, they don't really have a natural political home. And so it does mean that these kinds of deals, when they get put on the table, become attractive because they have the potential to yield votes ahead of elections.
Yeah. And in 2022, when the item resurfaced again, there was 483 submissions supported the sale, while 106 objected. And that's where the tussle came opened, because they said they didn't have a proper public participation, there wasn't enough time, and a separate petition was launched by DOCRA, which was called Save Townsend Park, and that collected more than 2,500 signatures opposing the sale. So once again, the central concern raised by most residents was the disposal of public land. What is going to happen now? Because now the process is open. As we speak, it's open, and it closes on the 8th of December. What now does what do the civic societies have to go through now? Do they have to now launch a legal, consult with legal attorneys again, launch a public forum to put the objections? What is going to happen? The petitions?
Yeah, well, it's the same process that needs to be followed if the municipality contemplates disposing of any public land. And just because something has been closed some years before doesn't mean that it can't be reopened at some point in the future. It shouldn't be in this case. But again, the fact that it has points to the kind of political infighting that's happening in the municipality. The municipal manager is the one with the ultimate authority as to whether something like this should be opened or closed. And it seems pretty clear to us that the municipal manager and the new mayor are not on the same page. So I think we are unfortunately falling victim here to politics within the ANC, and all the more reason to sort that out in next year's election. But the reality is this community is very well resourced. This issue will be very closely watched, and DOCRA and other civic organizations will take the necessary action to protect that that public asset.
Yeah. Dave, do you have anything else to add to this?
Well, I absolutely go along with what Warwick has said, and one hopes that it is correct that DOCRA particularly, which is the representation of all of us, residents and ratepayers here, should you belong to the organization or not, they are mandated to engage local government on these matters. I'm just hoping that everyone is playing by the same set of rules here, because DOCRA will follow the letter of the law, I have no doubt, and they will do what is considered correct under the circumstances. But if the sale goes through because of timing or due process not being followed or whatever, I don't believe it can easily be undone, and that's my concern. I think this is being slipped in and under the radar. Now we've got to hear about it. It's the first time I've heard that it's come back. If it wasn't for this platform and Penny's investigative journalist's intuition, we would be blissfully unaware. And the deadline for public participation is early
8th
next month.
8th of December, yeah.
So if this is the first that I've got to hear of it, and I was very involved in the previous issue, rest assured it's the first that most people in Belito that are affected by it, and I talk about everyone, because that park You see, it's very clever the way they've done it. They say, but the actual recreational park is unaffected. It's a different earth. It's the one that's already got buildings on it. It's you won't even notice it's there. and probably quite correct in that. It is a different, it falls, one is owned by the Department of Transport, one is owned by the municipality. The one that's being sold is owned by the municipality, not the Department of Transport.
It's all beside the point though, Dave.
Well, if it's sold, it's sold.
No, I understand that. But these justifications, a place of worship should add to a community without taking anything from it. The location must be selected on that basis. If you have to take away a portion of a green lung and a public open space, you can't just create public open space in Ballito. You can't go and buy six houses and knock it down to create a park. That doesn't happen, right? So we have to protect and defend our public open spaces for that reason. A mosque, a synagogue, a new church can and are being built all the time. And they get built at the extremities of towns and villages for a reason. See, now, you know, across the road in Townsend Park, there actually is a church.
Yeah.
And when it was built, and I know because I've been in this town for many, many years, decades, when it was built, it was at the extremity of the town. It is called Townsend Park for a reason.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
It absolutely was. You see, my fear is this. They know. Those that are involved in this shady transaction, that all of these objections will be brought to bear. And what will simply transpire, mark my words if it comes to pass, yes, you're quite right. We listen to your objection. We're not going to turn it into a mosque after all. We'll just turn it into townhouses. Watch. And then what's the objection? It's already done deal.
Same use
has been reproclaimed, and it goes along with – that's what I fear is happening here.
Sure.
And I think that's really the game. We need to be doubly vigilant now. And if necessary, I call on DOCRA to call for a public meeting on site like we did the first time round to get a show of support, a visible show, to present that to the municipality. They love that because there is ammunition galore. See, in the past, it's been said, Ballito is so, well, complacent. No one really cares. No one's going to do anything. They'll talk a lot, you know, especially behind closed doors, but they'll do nothing. Well, I think the time has come now for us to stand up and be counted in this matter, for sure. I'll be the first one there. Will you come with me?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah, so it's just another major transparency battle playing out. I mean, we're already seeing it. We're seeing the lack of transparency with the Dacuza substation. Legal attorneys are involved to try and get the tender documents out to the public view. So this is part of a very scary cycle that's unfolding, and it speaks a lot about the state of governance and accountability in Dacuza right now. Before we end, Warwick, thank you for your insights. What do you have to say? Where to now? What are we going to be seeing in the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, well, obviously all of us, the KDRF, the Dacuza Residents Forum, DOCRA, CORA, all of the civic organizations need to be on their toes. We want residents to participate in the public consultation process as well. But I also think that it's important that we reframe this issue away from being about a mosque to being about protecting public open space.
Because
as I've emphasized, exactly the same arguments would apply if it was a church, if it was a synagogue, if it was an outdoor dirt bike racetrack, if it was a property development.
Yeah.
It's about defending that public open space, that green lung, and we have so few of those spaces left in our community.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, that this saga does show us that it's no longer just a debate about a parcel of land. It's a test of governance and public trust. And we know the municipality is entering election year under enormous pressure. So we're going to continue to track this issue. Thank you, Warwick, for your insights this morning. And we're going to return to it as the process unfolds. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thanks, Dave, as well, for your insight.
Just one final thing. One needs to understand that public open space caters to everyone. Everyone in the community benefits from public open space.
Absolutely.
So this argument that, well, there's a certain community that's being under catered to is completely fallacious. Public open space is a treasure for all to enjoy and should be protected at all costs by everyone for the enjoyment of everyone in perpetuity.
Absolutely.
And this edition of Uncensored has been proudly sponsored by IPSS Electronic Security. When it comes to security, don't leave it to chance. Trust the experts at IPSS Security as the only CISA-approved security provider on the Dolphin Coast in all categories and the only local security company also accredited for CCTV off-site monitoring. With over 4 million rand invested in AI technology, they protect over 35 upmarket residential estates, spotting threats in real time. If action is needed, their rapid response and tactical teams, backed by the largest fleet in the region, is ready to act. For unmatched security, contact IPSS Security today at 0861 324 777. Your safety is their priority.